Amen. Well, welcome, you guys. Glad that you're here, and welcome to the River Church. Welcome, all of you online people as well. And we're grateful that we're able to do church today. Grateful that we're able to hang out together, to worship together, to spend time as a community of believers. We definitely desire that no matter where we are able to bring that kingdom community to where we live, work, and play so that others can know God. So this is really great that you guys are here this morning. And I just want to jump right into it. We have been doing a series called Spiritual Disciplines. And we have been digging into so many different spiritual disciplines. For what purpose? To know God. To dig into that relationship with the Lord. Our desire as a church, as a pastoral staff, is that in every age group, from babies all the way through to you being ready to be taken home by Jesus, whenever that is, that our hope and desire is that you are growing in that relationship with God. That every moment of every day there is a desire, there is a pressing in, there is a hunger for knowing more of God. And so what we're trying to do with this discipleship, the spiritual disciplines series, is that we are trying to introduce to you, encourage you in some areas that can help you to be better at growing in that relationship with the Lord. I need to start by doing this, though, before we get into it any further. This last week, Thursday and Friday, we were a part of the Global Leadership Summit. The staff and some of the leaders, the LTS, the Leadership Training School students, and a few other people in the church got to spend some time just being poured into, invested in by some tremendous leaders. And one of the things that was shared on the first day was that we actually communicate 12% more with our hands than our face or our voice. So I need to just share this with you this morning because this is really important. Friend. I just want to say that it's really, really cool to be able to be here this morning, and I'm just very, very grateful to be able to share with you this spiritual discipline that's on my heart. And this is a discipline that I truly, truly love so much. You know, it's interesting, the different people on staff that have been sharing with you, Nick, Andy, and Jill, and myself, we're sharing things that we're passionate about in these disciplines. And so the first time I got to share with you, it was on fasting. And why fasting was such an amazing thing for me in my life is that I would deny something that is so important to me, food, and it allows me to get closer to the Lord when I take that time to pray. And the thing that I want to talk about to you today is another denying of something so that you can get closer to the Lord. And it's something that I just am very, very passionate about. But before we get into it, and I'm kind of getting the anticipation going, but before I get into it too far, I want to ask you, do you ever or have you ever played the quiet game with your kids? Yes? Have you ever played it yourself? I still play that game. And it's important. I don't know if you have ever struggled with this, but you may have people in your life, or maybe you are this way, that you just have noise all the time with your kids. Or you are in a situation where there's just noise all the time, and you go, okay, you guys, just for a little bit, whoever talks first is not the winner. You know, whoever talks the last is the winner. And so you might play this quiet game. Or have you ever been in a situation where there's so much noise all around you that you just desire to be in peace and quiet? Does that sound desirable to you? For some people, for the biggest extroverts in the room, and I think that for a lot of younger people, and I'm including my kids in this because I see this with them, they do not like silence. There is this thing in them that they will struggle with this. They've got their earbuds, AirPods, you know, their headphones in and on all the time. They're listening to music constantly. My youngest will play the radio in his room. K-Love is on all night long, which I can't complain about because it's K-Love. But the thing is that there's music on all the time. There are sound machines going on in my other two kids' rooms at night. They just cannot live without some sort of noise going on. And I can kind of relate to this a little bit. Back in the day when I was their age, I had my Sony Walkman. you know, with my little orange headset on, you know, jamming to my tunes, little MC Hammer, you know, and so I was part of that, knowing and understanding that there's just this desire to have noise. And media outlets understand this too, that when you have a moment of silence, it can freak you out. Let me just ask you, if you ever are listening to the radio and there's no ad and there's no radio going on, how quickly will you reach to change the channel because it's just, you can't stand the quiet?
Dead air.
That's exactly what it's called, dead air. And media people will tell you that when there's dead air, they're losing money. And so when the TV, if your streaming service all of a sudden shuts off, are you reaching for your phone to start watching the show that is buffering on your television? Are you trying to get it onto your other device? Or maybe the cable goes out, or the show that you're watching just happens to stop and it's quiet. How quickly will you just wait for it before it goes back on, or will you just change the channel to something else? We struggle with silence. Talked to Andy, and he was telling me about some studies that were done where people were placed into a sound deprivation room where it's completely silent, and people couldn't even last a half an hour in this space because they couldn't stand the silence. It got so quiet in there that they could hear the blood being pumped through their body. Okay? We are a people who love sound. We love to talk. We love to be in community. We love to be around people. But there are some times where God is wanting us to remove ourselves from that, and He wants us to come to a place that is closer to Him. And that is something that is so desirable when you start to practice this discipline of silence and solitude. I want to just let you know really quick that when I talked about being quiet, it refers to what you hear, and silence more refers to what you say, or rather what you don't say. So when we talk about the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, it's really talking about this opportunity where you can go and you can be silent before the Lord. You can take some time away and be silent before Him, which means that when you're praying, you're not the one talking. You're actually listening to what the Lord is wanting to say. And so the spiritual discipline of solitude is more of a reflective action. You're sitting there in a place of receiving. Jack Hayford, who, if you are unfamiliar with who he is, he was at one time the president of our denomination of Foursquare. He also pastor of a large megachurch, one of the big guys out in California. He's written books. Started a seminary, King's College is what it is, and King's Seminary. I mean, the guy is a rock star in terms of the Christian world, not just in Foursquare, but in Christian worlds and circles. And he said this, he goes, solitude is being alone with the Lord in a quiet quest for God. Let me read that again. Solitude is being alone with the Lord in a quiet quest for God. It is pursuing this relationship, this deeper relationship with the Father that can't necessarily happen when we're on the go all the time. And so this morning, I want to look at some different ideas, some different things about solitude. First, I want to take a look at who in Scripture, who really got the idea of solitude. And then I want to look at kind of why solitude is important, and then to finish up, just give you some practical hows you can actually do or take some moments of solitude this morning. And so let's just look at it. The first one is just kind of looking at these people, these individuals in Scripture that actually understood the idea of solitude. And really, there's a number of people that do this. I want to just focus on two of them this morning, Moses and Jesus, but you can look at Elijah, Elisha, Jonah. I mean, Jonah was in solitude in a fish. So there's really, you know, nowhere that you can't go to be in solitude. But I just wanted to read to you a little bit about Moses in solitude this morning. It says in Exodus 24:15, starting there, it says, when Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. And for 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And then Moses entered the cloud, as he went up on the mountain. And he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now we know that when Moses went up into the cloud and spent that time of solitude with God up there, 40 days, no water, no food. It was a spiritual fast and a spiritual solitude up there. And while he was there, something transformed in him. When he came down, something had happened. He was profoundly different after he walked down. Now, yeah, he, you know, got ticked off. He threw the tablets down. He was frustrated. But he was one person when he went up there. And because he had spent time with the Lord, he was different, and he made a profoundly big impact for the rest of his time. And it was very much a history-shaping moment because of that time that he spent with God up there. Now, that's not to say that he still did human things. He still blew it. He wasn't able to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. But at the same time, he was still different when he came back from that solitude with the Lord. All right, so Moses is one. The other guy that I want to talk to you about is Jesus. Jesus understood this idea of going and being silent and going into solitude so well. You know, he started when he first got baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew 4, and he goes into the wilderness, it talks about, right? To go be away. He goes there to prepare himself for the ministry that was going to take place. Now, I think about this, and I go, Jesus went away, and he took this time to be with his Heavenly Father and to prepare for his ministry, which then for the next 3 years, it was life-changing, world-changing. It flipped everything. It changed the paradigm of people's perception of God the Father and what love is and what the law is and all of this stuff. Jesus transformed their thought of God. But I can't help but think that he did this in his life of ministry, but I would imagine that because he did it there, he had to have done it before ministry. He recognized that this is a discipline that was required and needed in his life. Even when he was a stonemason, a carpenter, doing his stuff, building his homes, making a table or chairs, when he's doing that, he recognized there needed to be time away from those things that he would be in solitude and silence before his Heavenly Father, to know what to do next, to know when to go. It had to have been that he was in those silent and solitude places that would allow him to recognize, now is the day I need to go to John the Baptist to get baptized. And so we have Jesus as an amazing example before ministry in Matthew 4. And during ministry, he continued to do it. As in Matthew 14:23 says, after he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. He sent both the seeking multitudes and his disciples away so that he could be alone with the Father. And in Luke 5:15 says, yet the news about him spread all over so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I love this verse, as it says that Jesus not only withdrew after serving, but he also did it often. Often. It wasn't just once in a while, but it was a regular occurring thing that Jesus would remove himself to go away, to be restored, to hear from the Lord, and to just take that time with the Father. And then he also did it before choosing disciples. In Luke 6:12-13, it says, one of those days Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So what I see with Jesus is this solitude, this time that he would take away from everybody, was a time where he could prepare. He could prepare for what was next. He was listening for the direction of God in his life. He also went away to be restored. This is a time of rest. You know, when you were away from the noise, away from the busyness and the rush of everything, you can breathe a little bit. Your mind, you can kind of get creative. You can hear easier. when there's not those distractions of all the different sounds and the worries and the anxieties and the fears and the stresses, when you take that time to just say, God, I want to be with you, he is now able to speak into your life. How does God speak? Does he speak with a shout and a roar? No. Scripture tells us that God will speak with what? A still, small voice. And so if he's speaking like this, and everything around you is traffic noise and bass and conversations and stress and all of the things and the worries of this life, it's very difficult at times to really hear that still, small voice. We see these examples in the circumstances for the practice. Yet for most of us, this discipline does not take much priority, does it? And while we neglect our practice of solitude, sadly, we close our hearts to God's voice. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to look at how and why this is so important for us to do. So I want to just share with you the purpose of the practice of solitude, all right? Practicing solitude is a choice, like committing to hear God's voice. It is not something that will come passively. And when we practice solitude, we are committing to a specific purpose. We are actually saying, I want to do this. I am engaging in this. I am beginning to do this thing that is so important to me. I'm not just going to just mistakenly fall into it. It's not like you're going to just find yourself one day in your backyard and go, huh. You may, but more often than not, you're going to have to purposefully pursue this solitude in your life. So the first thing that in this purpose, this why, is to quiet our hearts. The purpose of solitude is to quiet our hearts. We're going all the time. And we need to, in times of strife, of struggle, of stress, of worry, of anxiety and fear, our hearts are just beating so hard, the stress levels are high, we're not able to sleep well, we need to take these moments and go, wait. I got to quiet my heart. Psalm 131, David says this, instead I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. There's a purpose, and he's going and he's saying, I'm doing this. I'm not just in this baby life anymore where when I don't have it, I cry for it. No, as a grown-up, you don't just sit down and when you're hungry, you cry for food. You get up, you go to the cabinet, and you go get food when you're hungry. You go to the refrigerator. The same thing is true when it comes to this silence and solitude and we quiet our hearts. We need to be purposeful in acting on it. As humans, we are constantly communicating. Even when we are not speaking, our nonverbal cues, friend, right, are speaking for us. And sometimes the only moment that we are silent is when we are sleeping. But when we enter into solitude, we must purposefully quiet our hearts. Do you know why this is so important? It's so that we can get rid of the distractions. We can remove all the distractions. It's crazy when I remove the distractions, even because I am so surrounded by sound all the time, when I get into the silent place, my ears start to ring. Have you experienced that? If you've walked in solitude, if you've practiced this before, if you've gone into a quiet place to hear from the Lord, do your ears ring? It's a reminder to me of saying, Mark, you are listening to too many things. Your ears need to rest. Amen. Your heart needs to rest. Your mind needs to rest. When we remove the blockage of ourselves, we can find ourselves quieted and still. And Richard Foster, who wrote the book Celebrate, The Celebration of Discipline, he says this in his book, which is a great book, which a lot of these things that we're talking about are in this book, and I recommend it if you are looking at digging deeper into this idea of spiritual disciplines. But Richard Foster says this, one reason that we can hardly bear to remain silent is that it makes us feel so helpless. We are so accustomed to relying on words to manage and control others that if we are silent, who will take control? Who will take control? God will take control. Whew, I love it. God will take control. When we quiet our hearts in solitude, we are relinquishing control to God. We're saying, hey, Lord, speak to me. You be in control. You share with me what I need to hear. You speak into my life. Tell me where I need to go. The next thing we do, the purpose, the why solitude is so important, is that we need to wait on the Lord. Psalm 130, 5 through 6 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. More than a watchman waits for the morning. We are so easily distracted by what's next. But when I thought about this, and I thought about the idea of waiting in solitude, there's an anticipation in waiting. When you are looking and waiting for that, for the game to start, when you're waiting for the players to take the field, there's an excitement there. When you're sitting at the movie theater, and movie theaters used to have a curtain across the screen, and you would see that curtain there, and you would wait in the theater. Even if there was hardly any talking going on or it was quiet, you were waiting for that movie to start, and then the curtain would open, and you're like, oh, it's time to engage in the entertainment. You know, there's this thing that it talks about in the scripture of the watchman waiting for the morning. I don't know if you've ever been outside at dawn, right before it starts to get light. This morning, I wanted to practice this, so I got up early. I get up early on Sundays anyway, but I stood outside on my deck, and it was quiet. The birds hadn't even started chirping yet. And I was waiting for the dawn, and it was a beautiful sunrise this morning. It was gorgeous out, and I waited for it to get light, and I waited for the sun to start and coming up, and the clouds were changing colors and all this stuff, and life just began to happen. And it was interesting to me that as I was waiting, there was a purpose, and I was this anticipation for what was going to happen. I was so cued in to the sunrise. And when we are waiting for the Lord in this solitude, silent place, we are just expecting, we are, as I just said, cued into him speaking to us in our life. We're waiting for him. And we're excited about what is to come. We're like those watchmen, more than waiting for the morning. We are waiting for the Lord to speak into our lives. So when we wait, we have positioned our hearts to receive, which is so wonderful. And then finally in this, what comes as we quiet our hearts and wait for the Lord, we are brought revelation. He comes and he shares some amazing things. We looked at the ways God used this practice by those in the biblical times for great revelation, and he offers the same to you today. So when we go before the Lord and we wait and we quiet our hearts, we can know that the Lord is going to speak to us and bring some amazing revelation to our lives. In Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, "But from there you will search again for the Lord your God, and if you search for him with all your heart and soul, what will you do? You'll find him." You'll find him. God often makes his will clear to us in public, and I've said that. He does speak to us and lead us and direct us, but there are times when he discloses it only in private. There's times when he will share this stuff only in a private place. So to discover it requires the discipline of silence and solitude. Seriously, guys, I've never met somebody who has had an encounter with God and has walked away unchanged. So I encourage you today to take these moments of silent solitude and spend it with the Lord. So how do we do this? Talked about who and how or why. So let's talk about the how. Solitude is more of a state of mind than it is a place, as Richard Foster says. But oftentimes we'll hear something like Jesus and Moses taking 40 days and nights to be in solitude. Can I do that? Well, yeah, but that's crazy. I don't have that kind of time to take 40 days by myself and just go away and do that. So let me encourage you with this, because it's not just about taking these massive amounts of time of silence and solitude, but it can be taking little moments. It says, the Lord is good to those who hope in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait. It is good to look for things. And I will encourage you today to even take small actions of solitude in your life. We must be ready to take advantage of the little solitudes that fill our day. Maybe it's an early morning sitting out on your deck, or it's during the drive to work. Maybe you just leave the radio off. Maybe it's that bike ride that you take every day or at lunchtime, or you're listening to a podcast. Maybe just take out the earbuds and don't listen to the podcast, but listen to the Lord. It's a small step in your way to working up to larger things. And I just want to encourage you with these little ideas of solitude. I was sitting, you may have heard this story before, but I was sitting in my living or in my kitchen, my dining room area, and I was just taking a moment of solitude and silence before the Lord, just praying. And Cale was about 5 years old. He was playing with Legos in the living room. He wasn't worshiping. He wasn't doing anything spiritual. He was blowing up his Legos, okay? He was like crashing his Star Wars Legos together, and it was just obliterating everything. But he was building, he was creating, and he was doing all of these different things as he was playing with his Legos. I'm watching him in this moment of silence and solitude. I'm watching him, and I'm like, he's so cool, man. I'm glad he's having a good time playing Legos over there. And at that moment, I just felt an impression from the Lord to say, this is how I delight in you. And it was just a precious moment between a father and his son, and a father and his son. It was beautiful to be able to just receive that moment. And that's the kind of thing that in these little small moments of silence and solitude, you can really hear and have a moment with the Father and allow him to speak into your life. Just a moment where you can know and understand your identity and who you are because of him. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. These little moments are often lost, and I just want to encourage you to redeem them and allow God to use them to their fullest potential in your life. Little moments of solitude. Little moments, unexpected moments of solitude, but they have to be purposeful. You have to just say, I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to spend it in solitude. You can also do this as you've worked on those things. Maybe it begins to advance into more of a quiet time, a regular time in the morning. You're like, man, I really like that time of solitude. I want to do it more often. So you start to have that quiet time, or you start to have that time of meditation with the Lord in the morning with that silence and solitude. I love this idea with a routine of taking time to study the Word and in silent solitude. And I want to just encourage you with a different kind of Bible study this morning, which you may have heard of and you may not have. But this is an interesting form of study because there's all different kinds of ways that we can study the Bible, right? We can do a word search. We can take and we can do like we can read through the Bible in a year. We can do different Bible studies and different devotions and all this stuff. And I want to just share with you another how to dig into just a silent, precious moment with God. And the style of study that I'm talking about is called Lectio Divina. And it really is a slow way to read the Bible. Because you are literally taking a passage of Scripture, and you are reading that piece of Scripture, and you're thinking about it. You read it again, and if it's a story in the Bible, if it's one of the accounts of Jesus or something, you begin to just think about, well, what does this look like? If I were there, how would Jesus approach, you know, you just kind of begin to chew on the word. If it's a specific word that jumps out in that passage of Scripture, you begin to just reflect on that. God, what are you trying to share with me with this one word? And then you read that whole passage of Scripture again. It's very slow, and it's a very wonderful way of just slowly digesting the Word of God and really hearing from Him. And it's called Lectio Divina, Lectio Divina. E-I-E-I-O. If you're looking it up or you want to kind of get into that a little bit more, it's a wonderful way to just spend that quiet time in a quiet place with the Lord.
You know, if it's overwhelming to do it every day, I just want to encourage you that possibly try once a week. You know, something that also helps me is something that we've talked about. Pete Scazzaro and the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality talks about having a daily office. So it's taking 5 minutes in your morning, 5 minutes at lunchtime, 5 minutes at night to purposefully just be silent and quiet before the Lord, to focus on some scripture and to reflect on Him and your day. It's very, very special, and it's very, very cool to do that. And so that's another way that you can do that. For some of you that have gone through the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course, you understand this, and it is a very cool thing to be able to do that. And then the final thing is a scheduled event, a larger time, where maybe you take a day, and you're like, today I am purposefully going to go into solitude, and I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. I love it. I encourage our staff to do this once a year, to take 3 days and actually take time in solitude. And I'm really excited. Jill got to do it in July. Nick is doing it right now. I mean, he's not here today because he is taking time to be in solitude before the Lord. And I'm so excited because when we do this, we get direction. We get rest, and we just have these moments with the Lord. And so I'm really stoked for him. Kind of jealous because I haven't been able to take my time of solitude yet. Even Superman had a fortress of solitude, right? He understood it. So if Superman does it, gosh, we should do it, right? Anyway, I just want to encourage you, y'all, with that today, is take time. It's not something that is difficult, yet it can be scary if you've never been quiet before God. But I'll tell you this, it's addictive. Because seriously, when you are by yourself with God and you start to spend time in the presence of the Creator of all things, and you start to experience on a deeper level His love for you, and you begin to reflect greater on His death on a cross and His resurrection and what that means to you and the eternal relationship that you can have with the Father, it changes everything, and you just have to have that time. It's almost as if, you know, you're in that place, in that relationship when you first met somebody, and you just can't help but be with them. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm going to call them. I just got to talk to them. I just can't wait to see him. And when you're at work, you're thinking about him. And so then after work, you have to go see that person again. You know, there's that place of just being in this great relationship. And I just want to encourage you that this is what it's like to go into solitude with the Lord. It's such a precious, precious thing. It doesn't matter if you're a minister or not. Jesus gives us a very simple example to follow with solitude, and it is important for all of us to do this. The practice of solitude is a spiritual discipline designed to create a heart that is ready to seek God's word and to let it take root in our lives. So this morning, as I close, I want us to practice it for a moment. You okay with that? I mean, we have the fans or the projectors running, so it's not completely silent in here. But I want to just take a moment with you this morning. Without music playing, without any distractions, I want you to take a moment of silent solitude and just hear from the Lord. I will read this last verse here, and we don't have to put it on the Sky Bible, but I want to just read this. When you said, seek my face. This is Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. May you take silent moments out of your day to seek the Lord. Your heart is crying out to you, I want to see and be with my Lord. I'm going to pray, and then we'll be quiet for a little bit. Okay, I won't stress you out too much. I'll only take a minute, but take this minute and just go before the Lord like Samuel did. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this discipline of solitude that you have created for us as an opportunity to just grow in our relationship with you. Like fasting does to our body, silence does to our soul. And so, Lord, may we today take a moment to hear from you. May we, Lord, today take a quiet moment where we remove the distractions of the day, the things, the stresses, the worries, the fears, the anxiety, the troubles, all of the things that can separate us, can make us think of something else other than you. May we just quiet our hearts for a moment and wait upon you and wait for that revelation that you bring into us and into our lives. We love you, Lord, and we lift this up in your name. Amen. Just take a moment.